An obituary often brings some solace to those who mourn, but no newspaper we know carries the obituaries of animals. Reporter Alice Furlow's beloved cat, Ms. Pudding, died at her home on Cape Cod this summer at the approximate age of 18. We asked Alice to contribute an obituary of the cat she describes as her favorite family member.
For years, until a day or two before she died, Miss Pudding woke me every morning with a complex routine she worked out herself. This small, tawny and black, long-haired creature would climb from my bed to the bedside table and knock to the floor a certain old green pencil which I'd placed there the night before. Our agreement was that the pencil whacking got me out of bed, while Miss Pudding went into the parlor and climbed up on the tea table to wait for her first brushing of the day. I'd come in and open all the curtains, always saying, "Let's get some light on the subject, Kitty." After a few more formalities, we'd go into the kitchen where she watched me boil water for my tea and prepare her two-course breakfast. In 1989, Miss Pudding came to my mother, like all the best cats, out of the unknown. She looked about a year old, and after a few months in the barn, she became an outdoor-indoor cat. Outdoors, she was a wild, roaming huntress. Indoors, she was a shy, dainty friend of exceptional sweetness. Like many lost, stray, or escaping cats who choose a home, Miss Pudding loved only her immediate family, my mother, of course, and my husband Max and me, even though we lived in France. When we came to the Cape on visits, Miss Pudding would help me hang out the laundry, jumping joyfully into the basket. And when we had lunch under an apple tree, she'd watch us from an upper branch. When we moved to Cape Cod after my mother's death, we very reluctantly made Miss Pudding into a house cat. There were too many cat-eating coyotes nearby. To our relief, she adapted beautifully to indoor life, and she acquired a new and dear friend, Claudia, who made her a corduroy catnip rat. Miss Pudding brightened our lives like a small angel. For days after Max died in 1999, Miss Pudding would lie for hours on his pillow. We became closer than ever, each of us always knowing exactly where the other was in the house. But she began cautiously to make new friends. One of them is Peter Burnetter.
Miss Pudding was just a little sweetheart. I didn't know her till later in her life, but that playfulness, you could still see it in her eye. She had that little spark in her eye. Her energy was huge. Her spirit was huge. I mean, I'm sitting here now in her spot, and I can feel the absence being in this house.
Toward the end of her life, Miss Pudding was weakened by thyroid trouble and arthritis. But to the last, she'd heave her thin little body up her carpeted steps to tables and couches. She died on July 13th. She is buried next to a bush near the clothesline, a favorite spot in her outdoor days. Her body is in a little suitcase with the toys she loved best, a large yellow plush baby chicken and Claudia's catnip rat. Strangely, the saddest, hardest part of missing Miss Pudding is how much easier life is for me since she died. At night, I don't bother to close the parlor curtains. There's no one in the morning to hear me say, "Let's get some light on the subject, Kitty." Breakfast takes no time at all without Miss Pudding's elaborate morning routine. I don't have to clean up the messes she made late in life when she was too weak to make it to the litter. I'd give anything to have all that to do for her again. But I have to be glad that I've outlived my dear old cat. I'm no longer haunted by a fear I've had since growing old myself, a fear that one morning Miss Pudding would come padding up the bed to my face and I wouldn't respond at all, even when she batted the green pencil down.
Thank you.
Reporter Alice Furlow lives on Cape Cod. Her cat, Ms. Pudding, died this summer. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon will be back next week. I'm Lynn Neary.